Welcome to MedTech Science to Society, the podcast that explores the intersection of science and society. This podcast series is brought to you by UCT MedTech in collaboration with the UCT Biomedical Engineering Research Center, where cutting-edge medical technology meets compassionate healthcare. Join us as we dive deep into the latest breakthroughs and innovations and how they're shaping the world we live in. Thanks for clicking play.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode of MedTech Science to Society. In this episode, we have the pleasure of chatting with Maureen Etiquette. Maureen is a recent master's graduate in biomedical engineering, a MedTech innovator, and an engineering entrepreneur. She recently registered for a PhD in industrial engineering through Stellenbosch University, and we can't wait to watch Maureen make waves in this industry. Good afternoon, Maureen, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Nicola, for the opportunity. I'm glad to be here. I'm
very, very happy to have you. Tell me your journey into the field of health innovation and your experience in Uganda that might have led you to wanting to pursue a career in medical devices and diagnostics. How did this come about? Were you always a passionate young woman in tech from a young age? Or you know, what experience has led you to being in Cape Town, to pursuing a PhD in industrial engineering with a focus, I understand, on medical, the medical industry? Tell me more.
All right. Thank you so much, Nicola. First of all, I'd like to thank Sudesh for this opportunity as well. I did my bachelor's degree in Uganda. And basically, the bulk of my school life was in Uganda. And I didn't exactly want to get into the biomedical engineering field. I wanted civil engineering. But I ended up doing a combination in high school that had biology. So kind of my dreams of doing civil engineering were like, there was not there. But I struggled with biology a lot. It wasn't something that I would do naturally, but my parents wanted me to do the biology. So I did it, but I didn't get really good results. So towards getting a place in the university for my undergraduate, my mom was like, let's do some reading. Let's Google. Let's find out what's there. So I stumbled upon biomedical engineering. I read about it. I loved this course. I literally could tell you all the fields in biomedical engineering, all the opportunities in biomedical engineering. That was around 2013. And we applied for it. I applied for it for in a private university, just a government university, but for private. I got it. I was glad. I was happy. I was excited. And throughout the entire undergraduate, like literally I jumped into first year, I already got into innovation programs. And imagine that's your first year and you're already being told about identifying problems, coming up with solutions. We got into that. Then we also had the final year project that we began in our third year. So we went out and we're identifying problems and all that. And the more I did it, is the more I got excited about it. And then I began to discover more and more problems in the field. So towards the end of my undergraduate degree, I got an opportunity to work with a project that had gone through Grand Challenges Canada funding, and it was to do with maternal health. We're looking at a way of sorting out as postpartum hemorrhage, and we're looking at coming up with it was a wrap, so a device that would mimic the invasive treatment of postpartum hemorrhage, but rather externally. So yeah, so it's I don't want to get into it, but it's that field, and so my interest for maternal health really spiked. But one of the challenges that we experience, and I do believe that challenges prepare us for greatness. Like we should embrace challenges. So we had this funding of close to $100,000 Canadian dollars, and I think for a whole year, we were not able to progress. And the challenge was because at this point in time, we have the devices, we have the prototypes, we need to move forward to do a pilot study. And no one knew how to move about in this field. It was a gray field. I think there was only one device that had gone through the process. Now contacting them, they're just giving us this. But the field was constantly evolving back in Uganda. So what happened is we literally had to go to the UK to get guidance on how to go about a pilot study. It was just a pilot study, but no one knew the process. So a whole year, we're not making progress in that sense. We're just identifying the field. But that showed me that there really were basically any structures in the medical device field where we are students are coming up with lots of innovations, but then what's happening is there is a gap between the, you know, the knowledge generation and then knowledge translation. There was no one in the field. You know, you go to the offices and even the people in the offices don't exactly know what's going on. So now that prompted me to come for my master's degree. I think literally everything I did for my final year of my undergraduate up till now has been just answering questions to do with translation. So for my master's degree, I was looking at regulations because regulations is a part of the translation pathway. It's a big part of translation. For my PhD, I'm looking at localization. Now, regulations comes into, regulation does fit into localization of medical devices. So now I'm looking at, can we come up with a framework that will guide innovators on what to innovate? So maybe the challenge is that we're coming up with devices that are not needed or that there's no sufficient capacity. But what about if we know the capacity and we're able to kind of, it's like working backwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know the capacity, you know the manufacturing capacity, you understand the knowledge capacity is there. And so you're able to guide innovators. So we actually are able to manufacture what is appropriate. So maybe that changes the terminology of appropriate. So appropriate in the medical device sense is we're looking at context specific. So many times it's about what the health workers can use, what the patients can use and all that. What is, you know, in that healthcare setting. But appropriate could also mean what the government can purchase, what the manufacturers can produce, what the regulations can take on, you know? So it's just something that I'm still PhD first year. No, but it's just amazing. Yeah.
But it sounds like you serve such a vital role in, and having spoken to a lot of your colleagues and fellow researchers in the space, they are very focused on the actual device. Mm-hmm. But often, as you've just explained, is they're forgetting the context that this device will live in. Mm-hmm. And you are focusing a lot more on that context. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all very well that you create a device in South Africa that runs off electricity, but we're faced with load shedding issues, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. Whereas you are thinking further than the device. You're thinking about, you know, the whether or not it's appropriate within the context, within the landscape, being a device designer and a device developer.
But I think it was more of a progression. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that we should know where we fit in. So there are some people that actually are good at the design and development. I appreciate them. I acknowledge them. Well done. There are some people that are good at the production, the 3D CAD, the 3D printing, the additive manufacturing and all that. There are some people that are good at the policies, the regulations. I believe I fit in the policies and regulations, but also it's because I've been involved in the process. Mm. I've been involved in the design and development and the manufacturing, the local manufacturing. I've done it. And now I noticed that there's so much saturation in these two fields that people forget that at the end of the day, the policies must support you. Otherwise, there's no work done. So that's really, I think that's also a key area in this medical device space.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And a lot of that you learned while doing your master's at UCT, obviously, and you gained exposure to device design, innovation, you know, in the direct field, working with clinicians. Can you share some of the key lessons that you learned while doing your master's and perhaps how they've helped pursuing and going into your PhD?
Lovely. So when I just came into my master's degree, I had the question is, the question was, how can we make this whole this medical device space, like, how can we simplify it? You know, it's not clear, very broad question. But thank God for Sudesh. So he narrowed it down. Let's focus on regulations. And of course, during that time, that was the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic and all that. So there was opportunity to learn from what had been done during the pandemic. One of them was the ventilator. So I took on the ventilator. But also the amazing thing about being in this space is just the opportunities for growth. In the program, I was doing a master's in philosophy in health innovation, which was a totally different twist from my bachelor's in science in biomedical engineering. So I was getting into qualitative, the social aspect of it, which was great. But what was key there is user-centered design. Human-centered, user-centered design. The user is at the center of this whole medical device design development space. And the mistake very many innovators and engineers make. I mean, just today I was teaching some of my students, I teach them final year project back in Uganda. We do it online. And they were doing presentations, and I noticed that they were jumping right into solutions for problems they had identified, but they had not spoken to people about, you know. So that's the thing about engineers, is we are so gifted in solving problems. But the snare is we can solve problems that actually do not exist, because it comes back down to the people. And it's something that I learned very much. And from Sudesh, she was saying this over and over again, as I actually mentioned this to them, that when you focus on the problem, you don't need to explain your solution. When you get the problem right, you're good to go. You know, it's usually the solutions are with the people that are facing the problem, because they understand it. You know, so that's when we talk about human-centered design, that's it. But also there are so many other aspects for growth. For example, the Marcita competition. We went through a training for weeks. It was pretty intense. It was pretty intense. But we got to understand. So now I'm coming from a place whereby, yes, I have the practical aspects, but I need the knowledge input. So now we are learning about the regulatory space, quality assurance. Those are very key aspects when it comes to medical device design. You can't do away with the knowledge. It actually empowers you. And so from there, we've also gotten opportunities to interface with the lab itself, the MDL lab, looking at 3D printing. We don't exactly have that back home, but understanding the dynamics, but also teamwork. I must admit that sitting just in the lab with all my colleagues and learning from one another, I think that was amazing. We usually have the Tuesday lab meetings, where you just get to hear, what is so-and-so doing? What is so-and-so doing? And then you get to, it might not apply to you, but I think it's good knowledge to know. And then last year, we had the opportunity to be at the World Science Forum. And just, I think one of the amazing things is that Sudesh opened it up to all of us. It was amazing. We were mainly at the store just talking about the innovation. But the more we talked about our innovations, the more we got so much confidence in them. And just that, those were what we call soft skills. Being able to pitch your idea. Because the other aspect, again, you may come up with a great innovation that you cannot present. You cannot convince people that it works. You cannot talk about your problems. I think that was also something amazing. So I must say it's been a lot of the hard skills for this entire master's program. The hard skills, of course, learning about the medical device space, but also the soft skills. Are you able to pitch your idea? Are you able to network? Very important. Are you able to learn from your colleagues? And I think that's what makes the world a better place. That's what makes us move forward. Yeah, thank you.
Definitely. Wow. You've worked in the field of health innovation for several years now, obviously your undergrad, master's, mm-hmm. PhD. What are some of the challenges that you faced?
Amazing. I think the greatest of them all is the commitment and the diligence in this industry. It's not something you just wake up to and say, today I'm going to be an innovator. It's not. It's not. Oh, wow. I'm actually a director of a company back home. So I'm leading a couple of people. We have two projects right now that have getting into the pilot study phase. And when I look back and I'm like, from 2020, because we started in 2020, we've got a couple of fundings for it. And right now we're getting more fundings. But when I look back from the time I came to South Africa and being able to manage, to me, that's grace and that's favor. And I'm grateful to God. But also just in that ability to maintain the team, to maintain the vision, that's where the watch is. You know, when you don't, because we have applied for several fundings and you don't get it and you're like, okay, it's okay, let's move on. That ability to keep the team motivated, that guys, it's okay, let's push, you know, even when you're here. To me, I'm like, wow, that is grace, but it's a training. Now it comes back down to something that I've learned from the master's program is working with people, networking, you know, teamwork, very important. But I must say that that's one of the challenges, the team. Getting the team to think the way you think and to constantly, now I'm in the position of getting more and more knowledge because of, you know, being here. Am I able to share it with them so that we're all growing at the same level? Mm. But also something else that I noticed the challenge is just the policies are not yet there for this medical device space. It's growing and we appreciate the growth. We cannot microwave growth. We cannot. But just being able to appreciate the growth and seeing that, okay, now there's this that needs to be fitted in. There is this that needs to be fitted in. Can I meet that? Can I meet that need at this point in time? Can I meet that need? But also just being in that place of like, so there is this gap, but don't stop asking questions. Don't stop asking questions. How can I move forward? I think to me, and maybe just let me add this, to me, that's what brought me here because I had questions. I kept telling people, I have questions. I need answers. And until I've got them, I'm not yet satisfied. Because the first innovation I got into that, you know, that after my undergraduate, and, you know, you don't know how to move forward. You're like, okay, so what do we need? What do we need? And so we start putting down what we need to move forward. And we discover that, okay, there is this gap. Okay, who can fit in this role? Who can help us here? We start asking questions. We send emails to everybody. Some people respond, some people don't respond, but you don't get discouraged. It comes back down to what I was saying earlier, that this field it's like a passion. You have to be passionate about it to move forward. There's so many challenges, but passion is what, it keeps you going. It keeps you going. Yeah.
And it's a long game.
It is, you.
It's a very long game, and there's no overnight satisfaction. You've got to be in it for the long run.
Yeah.
The long run, looking at the future and your plans in terms of contributing to the field of medical devices and diagnostics across, you know, the globe, because you're definitely not bound to South Africa nor to Uganda.
Sure.
What impact do you hope to have?
Well, it starts from policies, governance. I believe that's my new game for now. And just looking at South Africa as a case study, because the policies are at a much higher level than in many African countries, many low and middle income countries. But just looking at South Africa and being able to, because it starts from where you are. You cannot think about the globe when you've not made impact in this community. So it starts from here. And my PhD is actually focused on developing decision support frameworks, as I said, for localization of medical devices in South Africa. And then this framework can be applied to sub-Saharan Africa, to Africa, to low and middle income countries, and many other countries that may need it. So that's my focus for now. But also something that I'm very passionate about is teaching people. The more you teach is the more you grow. I've learned that the more you give is the more you grow. And just today I was teaching them. Initially, I was a little bit so busy for this teaching thing. But then I was like, no, let me do it. But the more I teach my students is the more I fall in love with the medical device space. So it's also about sharing. And I'm grateful for the platforms like this of just sharing experiences and knowledge. So there is that, of course, the policy, being able to teach and also just the company that we have. So I may not be the one that's handy with the technical and all that, but then being able to grow the people that I'm leading to become better than me, to me, that's satisfaction. Yeah, so that's it.
Oh, fantastic. Advice for students wanting to get into the space, or maybe anyone looking to change careers. What does Maureen think is the answer, and what advice do you wish to part?
Oh, wow. Beautiful. Thank you. So for starters, I would say I'm a Christian. Where I've come from, to me, it's the grace of God. And I would say, first of all, believe in God. Believe that you're not a mistake, because there are statistics that show that many people that start up ideas, and I've seen it even back home. People have amazing ideas, but then what happens is students. So we have this huge room that's full of equipment, ideas, innovations. Bah, 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 bah. The room is full of them. They don't make it out there. We've also had those statistics of companies that first year, second year, after that, they're nowhere to be seen. They give up on it, startup companies. But if you believe that God called you for this, then continue with it, even when there are challenges involved. You know, if it means sitting down and just revisiting, rethinking, just clearing your mind, rethinking, you know, and this is mainly for the innovators that maybe have given up or something of that sort. Keep on going. You know, as I said, challenges are bread. Challenges are stepping stones. You don't stop asking the questions that will get you forward. You keep on doing it. But also for students is think and dream big. There is no limitation. to your dreaming? Why do we limit ourselves? Why do you come up with an innovation that will only remain with your professor or your supervisor? Why are you limiting yourselves like that? There's so many opportunities. And the way knowledge, the way opportunities have increased over the past years, it's incredible. Like, no one has the right to say, I could not do anything with what I had. Do you recognize what you have in your hands? You have an idea, you have a great supervisor, you have Google Chrome, where you can Google all these funding opportunities. Why are you limiting yourselves, you know? So it's just come out of the shells. Learn to think, dream, see big. It also starts with your vision for the students, you know? And then for the innovators, as I said, but then also for the supervisors, believe in your students. It's something that Sudesh has done so excellently with all of us that are involved. Gosh, Sudesh believes in us. He literally sends us all these opportunities. And even with his busy schedule, he's able to follow up, you know, follow up on this and this. I think that's also a key to having great, you know, to a great lot of students, you know. So that's what I should say.
Maureen, your passion is tangible and you are undoubtedly going to change the landscape, and you can continue to make waves. And
thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for sitting down and sharing this passion with me and coming to South Africa to really make a difference. Thank you.
It's an honor. Thank you so much for the opportunity as well.
Thank you for tuning in to MedTech Science to Society, the podcast that explains the convergence of science and society with biomedical engineering. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, brought to you by UCT MedTech in collaboration with the UCT Biomedical Engineering Research Center, where advanced medical technology merges with compassionate healthcare. Stay up to date with the latest innovations, discoveries, and advancements, and how they impact the world around us. Find UCT MedTech on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram to stay up to date. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for clicking play.